Well, our sermon title this morning is a tricky one. And it's tricky because, well, everybody talks about how there are some languages that are tremendously difficult to learn because they're tonal languages. And it's true. A number of East Asian languages, depending on where you put the emphasis on a syllable, completely changes the word you're saying. And we sometimes think that, therefore, English has no tonal aspects at all, and yet our sermon title demonstrates that it does, because the sermon title is, What Do You Want? But you notice I underlined the word do. And the reason why I did that is because this sentence, well, it's actually four different sentences. And the one I want us to talk to is, What Do You Want? Not, What Do You Want? Or, What Do You Want? Or, What Do You Want? All four of which are radically different sentences. I want us to think about this whole idea of what do you want. And it comes out of our gospel lesson this morning. And I've always liked the story of Bartimaeus and his interactions with Jesus. And I see different parts of it in different ways at different times of my life. And this time around, well, this is the one I think I see most frequently, is Jesus asking somebody, what do you want? The story is fairly straightforward. Bartimaeus, he's blind. He's probably been blind for a long time. And he, for whatever reason, is aware of Jesus and what Jesus can do. And so when he hears Jesus come by, he causes a ruckus that, of course, people try to make him behave because, of course, you can't have a ruckus around Jesus and all of that. Jesus says, no. Call him over. And says, what do you want me to do for you? And part of us will always wants to say, well, what kind of a ridiculous question is that? What do you want me to do? Well, of course, everybody knows what he wants. But is it really that ridiculous a question? Because, well, there's a number of things going on here. First of all, Jesus is paying Bartimaeus the fundamental respect that we all owe each other to not assume that we know what other people want or what other people are thinking. And Jesus, even though he had perhaps the unfair advantage of being fully divine while being fully human, gives us an example of how to live our lives quite often. And this is another one of those ways. He doesn't just say, well, you must want to be healed and heal him. He says, what do you want? He's saying, you have some agency in your life, blind as you are. Tell me what it is that you want me to do for you. And then he actually listens to the answer. And it seems perhaps peculiar that you would have to ask that kind of thing, but think how frequently when people ask us what we want, we say something other than what we actually want. And I think part of it is cultural. We've been trained into this idea that you shouldn't want too much or you shouldn't want the wrong thing. And so we're always very careful how we respond to that kind of question. And there's nothing wrong with thinking through your answer before you give it, but we do no one any favors by not saying or admitting what it is we want. Somebody asks you what you want. It's an opportunity for you to think about what that actually means. It's one of the ways that we discern what it is that we want. Because if you ask people just off the top, sort of the answer off the top of their head, you might get something different. And if you ask people what they want and actually are interested in the response, you find out all kinds of things. A couple years ago, it was time for Heather to get a car. We've been a one-car family for most of our married lives. We somehow managed to do that for more than 20 years with two, then three kids and all that goes with it. But with her going to university and some other things, it came to the point where she needed a car. And she was talking it over with her spiritual director. And in a very fascinating little interchange, they talked about it. And her spiritual director said, well, don't be afraid to ask for what you want. It's sort of a strange thing to say, but it's worth paying attention to. And when Heather went to the dealership the person that she interacted with, the first thing he said after they had the introductions was, said, "Don't be afraid to ask for what you want." And Heather, like many people who grew up in a home that wasn't awash with money, namely all of us, we tend to think that, well, what's the cheapest we can get away with? And there's nothing wrong with frugality. Frugality is a good thing. But cheapest and careful with your money are not always exactly the same. And so as she was thinking, she thought, well, what's the cheapest car I can get away with just to get... And then she thought, but is that what I want? Do I want the cheapest possible car? And if that is what you want, then of course. And she realized that, no, she didn't want that. What she wanted was something that was reliable. Something that had a warranty, that something that she could depend on. And as she talked it through with the salesperson, she was at a Volkswagen dealership, and she realized that, you know, they talked about things. She realized she actually wanted a new car, not some old car. And through that process, they sort of worked out what it was, and she could have ended up with a Jetta or a Passat. That's what it came to. And she looked at the two. Jetta was smaller, a little less expensive. And she looked at the two and realized that no, she didn't want the Jetta. She actually wanted the Passat. And that's what she got. Now, this little story about a car, you sort of wonder, well, why are we talking about cars in church? Because as part of this process, something that Heather began to realize is that if she wasn't careful, her early upbringing and all the things that go into it would affect her view of God in such a way that she found it very hard to believe that God actually was interested in what she wanted about things as simultaneously trivial and significant as a car. Because one of the things that happens when we ask somebody, what is it that you want, is that what their response is gives us some idea of what they think we can do for them. When Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want? We think, particularly at this end of the story, we think there's really only one response. Yeah, I want to see. Bartimaeus could have said all kinds of things. Could have said, I want to be one of your disciples. He could have said, I want a lot of money. I want a better location where I can beg for what I need. He could have said all kinds of things. But what he said is what Jesus said, go, your faith has healed you in response. Because what Bartimaeus understood at this deep and significant level is that Jesus could do what he needed. Bartimaeus' view of Jesus was an accurate one because he knew he could ask for the restoration of his sight. What we want and what we ask for, because the two aren't always the same, particularly in prayer and in our interactions with God, tells us more about what we think of God than perhaps we might like. Because God, in his relationship with us, frequently asks us, what do you want? And he doesn't ask it in that accusatory way, or for that matter, in any of the other ways of emphasizing the four different words in this little sentence. God asks us, what do you want? Because he wants to know. Not because he doesn't know, but because he wants us to go through the process of saying, what is it that we want? And use our response to that question as part of our discerning process to figure out what it is that we want. And then to ask for it. And to ask for it in faith. This isn't some peculiar subspecies of that strange theology of name it and claim it, or whatever you want to call it, where you say that anything that you can describe to God, he will give it to you because that's the way it works. That's not the way it works. It's more that process that helps us identify what it is that we actually want. And then take it to the person who can provide that. Anyone with children, whether it's their own or somebody else's, has gone through that incredibly maddening process of saying, what is it that you want, when your kids obviously want something and they won't tell you. And it's not like at the end of the day, at the end of the conversation, where you get to the end of it, you realize that what they wanted to do was set fire to the house. No, it's never anything like that. It's always something that you probably would have given them right from the beginning. If you would have thought of it, you would have given it to them without them even asking. But I've learned as I've gotten older, and as my children have knocked some of my edges off, and I've knocked a few of theirs off, I suppose, and we've become more well-rounded people, I've learned that asking the question is sometimes really important. And asking my kids, what do you want, helps them to understand what it is they want. And I have to get back, you have to get past my own frustration at them not saying anything at all, or saying things that they seem to think I want to hear. And I have to learn to live with that frustration, even the aggravation of my children not believing me when I ask, what is it that you want? And so they come up with something that they think I want to hear, rather than the fact that they actually want, instead of peanut butter on their toast, they want Nutella, which is perfectly fine with me. I just want to know which jar to open. That's all I'm interested in. I don't know what the problem is, and sometimes maybe I'll never know, maybe they don't know. But when we go through the process of asking the question and eventually getting to the answer, we're all better off. God asks us what we want on a fairly regular basis. That's part of what prayer is. Prayer isn't just bringing a list of desires to God, of course, but bringing our desires to God is part of prayer. And God doesn't want us to make up things. God doesn't want us to pray only in those approved areas of peace and well-being for people all around the world, and bless the missionaries while you're at it. God wants us to be in a relationship with Him that's as meaningful and as real as our relationship with everybody else. And I don't know if you've ever been around someone who, for whatever reason, finds it impossible to identify their own desires to you, but they can be very tiresome. These are the kind of people that no matter what, will always say, well, I don't know, what do you want? Where do you want to go for dinner? Oh, I don't know, where do you want to go? We should see a movie. What movie do you want to see? Well, I don't know, what movie do you want to see? Like, do you have no opinions of your own? Do you have no desires? And if you authentically don't care, that's one thing. But if you can never be honest about what you want, how will you ever know when you've got it? And how will you be anything other than chronically dissatisfied? Because if you don't know what you want, you don't know when you've got it. And you're always going to be looking somewhere else for something else that you can't even identify to yourself. God wants us to tell Him what it is that we want. In the same way that Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what is it that you want? Because He wanted Bartimaeus to own what he wanted. And Bartimaeus said, I want to see. Jesus said, okay, here you go. Your blindness has been taken from you. You can see. And it's because you asked for what you actually desired. Because that's where that faith comes in. My children don't authentically ask me to give them a bank because they know I can't do that. But they ask for help. They occasionally ask for money. And the things that they ask for, they know I can provide for them. They ask for them in a completely different way. Just that in this fallen relationship we have, that we all have with the people around us, we sometimes forget what it is that our friends and family can do for us. And sometimes we ask for what we think they want to hear rather than what it is that we want. It's important for us to first of all admit that we want things, Seems strange to have to remind us of that, because of course we all want things, but how many of us have gone through periods of our lives, and maybe we're in one now, where we think, well, I shouldn't really want anything. There are people who have so much less. There's people who, whatever it might be that makes us think that our wants are unnecessary or immaterial, or perhaps even immoral, just because we want things. That's not the case. We all want things. And if we identify what it is that we want, it helps us understand ourselves. And sometimes when we identify what we want, we realize that not only do we not want it, we don't want to be the kind of person who wants that. If we want power over people and we can actually identify that that's why we want to be on this committee or we want these responsibilities, it helps us realize that we've got issues of some kind where we just want to exercise power over people, and that's something we can deal with, but not until we admit that that's something we actually want. Admitting what we want is part of being honest with ourselves. Being honest with ourselves is the beginning of so many really good things. I don't know what God's asking you about today, of course, because I'm not you. And I don't know what He'll ask you about in the next few days or anything, but I'm pretty sure that in the next while, you'll have an opportunity to talk to God in prayer or in your devotional time or just in your that feeling of connection with God. You're going to have an opportunity to answer that question. What do you want? And I encourage you to not be afraid to ask for what you want. Even if you ask someone for something that they can't provide, the honest interaction, the honest exchange, strengthens the relationship when you're talking to your friends and family about those sorts of things. And it does the same with God. Because honest interaction always strengthens bonds. So when God asks you in the next day or two or however long it is, what it is that you want, just tell Him. Maybe through that process you'll discover that it isn't something you actually wanted that much after all. Maybe you'll learn things about yourself in that conversation that you didn't know before. But the thing that we often seem to forget is that when we ask God for what we want, pretty often, He gives it to us. What do you want? When God asks you, just tell Him. He's a good Father who wants to give you whatever it is that you need and what you desire. But for better or for worse, He's only going to give it to you when you ask for it. And so when He asks you, just tell Him.